Scott Morrison has taken aim at the so-called teal independents that are proving to be a thorn in the side of many Liberals in blue ribbon seats. In McKellar on Sydney's North Shore, sitting MP Jason Falinski is under fire from independent Sophie Scamps, and she outlined her position on climate targets with The Wire's Eduardo Jordan recently.
Australia's net zero 2050 target needs to be legislated so that the Morrison government can't walk away from its promise. It also needs to be legislated so that future governments are also held accountable to the target. And then lastly, the business sector also needs that certainty around our targets. The Business Council of Australia is saying that already Australia has missed out on billions of investment because of the lack of certainty.
I asked Jason Falinski why the government didn't legislate their zero emissions target as independent candidate Sophie Scamps suggests they should have.
Well, let's get our facts straight. She's not an independent candidate. She's the Climate 200 candidate. And I think if we're going to have an honest discussion in Australia about public policy, we have to start with being honest about who we are. In terms of your question about why we didn't legislate, well, the answer is because getting to net zero by 2050, if not before, actually requires innovation, requires good policy, requires proper investment. It doesn't require us to have a whole bunch of lawyers arguing about it in court. And where there's been legislation overseas, that legislation has been used by the court system to subvert what is best practice in terms of getting to net zero by or before 2050.
But isn't she right when she quotes the Business Council as saying that the business really does need more certainty on this?
Would this be the same Business Council of Australia who said 3 years ago that a 35% reduction in emissions by 2030 was an economy-wrecking move? And yet now we find ourselves on a trajectory to not only meet that target of 35%, but to exceed it. I'm very happy to take the views of the Business Council of Australia on board, but the fact of the matter remains that what we need is frameworks, is a plan, which is what net zero is. There may be parts where we need to fill that out. For example, the plan makes the point that there are 15% of the reductions are going to have to be left open to further improvements in and technological advantages in emission reduction technologies. I think that that is well and truly within hand because a lot of that technology currently exists. It just needs to be commercialised. So I'm pretty excited about the future when it comes to us reaching net zero in Australia. Where I think the great challenge lies is how to convince other countries, particularly India and China, that represent more than 40% of global emissions, that the journey that we're on is not only possible but a profitable journey, and it's one that they should take up as well.
Have Climate 200 candidates been particularly effective against some of your colleagues in Victoria as well as New South Wales?
Look, let's be blunt about this. They are spending a paltry amount of money. Sophie Scamps in my electorate had a fundraiser at David Harris's house in Newport from Harris Farms, where she told the donors or investors that were gathered there that she intended to spend $2 million on this campaign. Now, I would make the point that if you have good ideas, you don't need that much money. When you don't have good ideas, then you need to paper over the gaps with a lot of money. And that's what's going on, not just here on the Northern Beaches, but right across electorates in Australia. And this isn't about policy. This is about power. If this succeeds, I think this sends a very dangerous shot across the bow of Australian democracy because there will be a response at the next election. You will see both major parties establish their own dark money funds, which is what the Climate 200 fund is, to hide where donations are coming from. And, you know, people say, oh, well, can you give me an example? The best example I can give you is Zali Steggall's campaign 3 years ago, where she took a donation from a coal investor who bought Eddie Obeid's coal mine. She took a donation of $100,000. Her campaign took a donation of $100,000 and then sought to hide it by splitting that donation across 8 family members.
Just today, we've had the news through about the Solomon Islands believing that Australia's about to invade. Penny Wong sheeted home blame for this situation in the Solomons to our cuts in aids for Pacific nations. Have we been neglecting the concerns of these countries in the Pacific?
Absolutely not. And it really just annoys me beyond belief that we have these sort of allegations coming from people on the left. The fact of the matter is that Australia is one of the longest and most enduring supporters of the South Pacific and the people of the South Pacific. And those people in those nations know that. What has occurred here is that the Chinese government made a determined effort to involve themselves in the domestic politics of the Solomon Islands. They've managed to have a security agreement signed. That is a very dangerous situation for Australia's national security. It is one that both parties have responded, I think, appropriately to. But for anyone to blame this situation on Australia is just absurd. What we do know from history is that, not unreasonably, the peoples of the South Pacific and elsewhere in our region don't appreciate being told what to do by Australia or New Zealand. They believe quite rightly that they're sovereign nations and that they're entitled to self-determination. So we're not about to tell them what they should and shouldn't do, but we're obviously very disappointed with this development.
Jason Falinski, Liberal MP and candidate for MacKellar, speaking with me there. I'm Roderick Chambers and you're listening to The Wire, around Australia on the Community Radio Network.